Chapter 45. Tie. The last few days had come and gone with a speed that had taken Tai by surprise. Before he knew it, the week was almost over, and he found himself sitting atop Waddle as they trotted down River Street. Flanked on both sides by his brother and father, Tai managed a quick glance down Wood Lane as they passed. His eyes naturally slid to the dark alley beside the spice merchant, where he had encountered the scary old woman's deadly trinket shop. Was he expecting to see the old lady just standing there waiting for him? He didn't know. The council was supposed to send someone to check out his story. He wondered if the old woman was even still there, or if, having been discovered, she'd moved on. Somehow, he doubted it. A few miles north of town, they crossed back into the Sadaran forest. The abundance of life within the trees breathed a fresh sense of vigor into Tai's spirit. There was something different about it, though, a hint of danger that had been growing over the last couple of weeks. Tai wasn't sure what it was. He couldn't help but wonder if the change of mood was merely a manifestation of his own fears at learning that the White Tower was looking for him, or if it was something else. Turning east, his father led them down a dirt lane that cut further back into the surrounding woods, in the direction of the East River. The road eventually opened into a large clearing, which held an extensive estate that Tai could have only described as a palace. Or at least as close as his imagination would take him, having never actually seen one before. It wasn't the first time he'd seen the Overlord's estate, at least from a distance. When Tai was younger, he had thought to play a prank on Lyessa, but didn't make it out of the surrounding woods before a couple of Sadaran lancers on patrol had nabbed him. It had been a little more than embarrassing for him and his family, especially when his father had been the one to have to retrieve him. He hoped the Overlord had forgotten about that. The main building was at least 4 stories in height. Its white stone glistened as the sun peeked out from behind another cloud. Fronting the main house was a well-kept garden, equipped with fountains, pebbled paths, and strange birds with large feathery tails. Each bird stood on a pair of legs that looked to be nothing more than 2 painted sticks. Surrounding the estate were a number of smaller outbuildings, each of which was at least 3 times the size of Tai's family cottage. It was truly impressive. They followed the path around the garden. It led in a circular fashion back toward the front of the main building and the open courtyard. A couple of attendants, dressed in the formal Sadaran green and gold, were there to meet them. After dismounting, the groomsmen walked the horses to the stables. The stairs leading up to the main entrance were lined with magnificently carved statues. At the top, the double doors opened, and an angular gentleman, dressed in the same green and gold as the staff, trotted down the stairs to greet them. Along with his fancy suit, the man wore a feathered hat and a pair of white gloves.
"Welcome, Master Kellen," the lanky man said with a swooping bow. "Lord Baal has been expecting you."
"Thank you, P.L."
Tai was impressed. It was the first time he'd seen someone show that kind of deference to a member of his family.
"If you would be so good as to follow me."
The tall man gestured toward the front doors, and started up the steps. Tai fell in behind the others as they made their way up the steps and through the doors. The open foyer held 2 circular staircases leading to a 2nd-floor walkway that encircled most of the room. The front wall was lined with windows. The place was a veritable cornucopia of exquisite furnishings. Expensive, breakable items littered every nook and cranny. Tai didn't think it was a very practical room. There was no place to stretch out. The decor was heavily accented in the rich tones afforded by the extensive use of wood, to which many of the residents of East Haven had chosen to give prominence.
It was a traditional choice, stemming from their love of the Sidaran forest. Tilting his head down, Tai smiled, and his reflection in the polished marble smiled back. He had known Liesa was rich, but he had no idea it was anything like this. The chamberlain led them between the center of the two staircases and toward an adjoining hallway. While passing directly underneath the balcony, Tai gawked at the enormous brass chandelier hanging directly above.
"Lord Baal will receive you in his study," Piel stated without turning.
Rounding the corner, the chamberlain came to a stop in front of a set of golden oak doors. Opening, he stepped through and allowed his guests room enough to follow.
"Master Kellen and his sons to see you, my lord."
The chamberlain bowed. Tai was surprised to see that the man's feathered hat had not fallen off in the process.
"Thank you, Piel."
The overlord stood from his cushioned seat in front of the fire. The room was well lit as the afternoon sun poured in from the open draperies on the far side. There was a set of glass-framed doors at the back that gave Tai a perfect view of the open courtyard beyond. The overlord's study didn't appear to resemble that of the rest of the estate, however. There were no shiny marble floors, no colorful tapestries, no exotic furnishings of any kind. Instead, the room had a strong rustic flavor, with full scribe log walls decorated in natural colors and surrounded by an array of stuffed mounts from the lord's previous hunts. It was the epitome of a man's place to escape. Warm light from the open hearth at the front of the room flickered across their faces as the three took in the splendor. From the other side of the room, Lord Baal broke off his conversation with the man sitting across from him and stood to greet them.
"Master Kellen, it is so good to see you again," Baal said as he reached out to shake Tai's father's hand.
The overlord was at least a head shorter than his father, but well built, with a hint of grey showing in his beard and hair. Tai, of course, naturally assumed this was Liesa's doing, and smiled, up until the point he noticed the amount of grey in his own father's hair. Tai was rather astonished at such a friendly greeting from the overlord. Tai had always figured him to be of such a station that would not allow him to pay mind to those of common birth. But instead, Lord Baal appeared to be quite hospitable, if not downright friendly.
"I'd like to introduce you to our Sidaran representative, Ambassador Lanmeer."
The other man was a good 10 years older than the overlord, and wearing a sling on his right arm. Tai's father extended his opposite hand so as not to disturb the ambassador's sling.
"Master Kellen is my personal gamekeeper and forester."
"Ah, then it is a real pleasure to meet you, Master Kellen, and I thank you for your service."
The ambassador had a very approachable way about him. Tai's father bowed.
"It's my pleasure, Ambassador."
"And these must be your boys?"
His father stepped back to introduce them.
"Yes, this is my eldest, Breen."
Breen followed with a proper bow.
"Yes, quite the strapping young man,"
Baal commented as he sized Tai's brother up.
"And this is my youngest, Tai."
Tai managed a slight bow without looking too awkward. Glancing in Tai's direction, Lord Baal's face brightened.
"I believe I had the opportunity to hear our young master Tai perform for us a couple of weeks back. Quite the talent you possess with those pipes of your son. Don't believe I've heard better."
Tai, feeling a little self-conscious from the praise, forced a polite smile.
"I thank you for your generosity, my lord, as undeserved as it is."
He'd all but forgotten that the overlord had been seated front row center for his musical debut.
"No need to get embarrassed. If I ever told you what Liesa did the first time I made her perform in public, she would probably lash me 6 ways from 8th day.
"Yes, she would,"
came a curt reply from directly behind them. Tai spun around to find a perfectly poised Liesa standing in the doorway, wearing what looked to be layers of soft green chiffon with white lace trim poking out from beneath her collar and cuffs. The material clung to her figure in a way that nearly made him blush for looking. To Tyus' dismay, on her left stood an even more impressively arrayed Aiden.
Why is he here?
Liesa's eyes brightened as they met Tyus'. Some things are better left secret. Wouldn't you agree, Ty?
Ty's eyes narrowed. He refused to capitulate to her teasing. She turned her head, and the light revealed a powdered over bruise on her right cheek, just below her eye.
Ty suddenly found himself enraged. If Aiden had laid a hand on her...
Clenching his fists, Ty fought back the urge to do something stupid. Besides, he had no idea what had taken place. As clumsy as Liesa was, she might have just fallen out of bed that morning.
Where are my manners? Paul interrupted, stepping around to where his daughter and Aiden stood waiting in the doorway. Master Kellen, this is Aiden Raycrest. His family is from Riverton. They own most of the lumber milling in Sodara. Aiden, this is Master Kellen. He's our gamekeeper.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Master Aiden, Ty's father said, offering Aiden his hand.
The pleasure's mine, Aiden replied with a shake.
I believe you know everyone else,
Baal said, as he motioned for the party to take their seats in front of the fire.
Aiden is staying with us for a few weeks while he inspects his family's lumber holdings here in East Haven.
Ty wanted to roll his eyes. Lord Baal was obviously proud of finding what he thought was a suitable match for his daughter. By the time they had all found a seat around the hearth, a couple of serving girls stepped inside with trays of light snacks and some pitchers of drink. All the men, save Ty, helped themselves to a glass of the strongly spiced wine, while Ty and Liesa opted for the apple melon punch with a touch of honey. It was some of the best Ty had ever tasted.
By now, I'm sure you've noticed that our good ambassador has been recently injured,
Baal said as he caught the eyes of those sitting around the small circle.
One of the reasons I requested your presence today is that I would like for him to divulge the circumstances behind those injuries. If you'd care to elaborate, Lanmir,
Baal said, with a nod in the ambassador's direction.
With as much travelling as Master Kellen and his sons undertake throughout the year, it might be prudent for them to have some insight into what you witnessed during the king's hunting excursion. We don't want them being taken completely unawares.
I'd be happy to, your lordship,
Lanmir said, as he lowered his glass and shifted slightly in his seat. Ty leaned forward, anxious to hear what the man had to say.
I had been included in a small expedition hosted by His Majesty. We were hunting grouse, not that that has any bearing on the horrific events that took place, but for clarification. The party consisted of myself, three other ambassadors, the High King, the Prince, the Guardian Protector with a few of his High Guard, and Commander Tolan with at least two company of lancers.
That's a mighty large procession for a simple bird hunt, Ty's father remarked. It's a wonder there was any game to be found with such a force.
Yes, the ambassador agreed with a smile. But I have my suspicions it was more for show than for effect. The overlord of Sealmar has been growing more aggressive in his assaults on the Alondrian borderlands, and I have no doubt the king wanted to set an example.
Lanmir took another sip from his goblet to wet his throat, which was starting to sound a bit hoarse.
But I digress. We were hunting in the woodlands at the foot of the Sundrethan Mountains, north of Eremor, when we were attacked by a creature so grotesque it hinders accurate description.
He stopped and focused on the red liquid inside his glass, as though in staring hard enough the drink would somehow magically refill.
I am not ashamed to say it was the most terrifying experience of my life. Had I not witnessed the courage of the Guardian Protector and his men, as well as the Commander and his lancers,
I might have followed the example of one of the other ambassadors and thrown down my bow and run.
He paused again to consider.
Thanks be to the Creator's mercies, I did not. Little did we know, there were two more creatures waiting in the forest just behind us. The ambassador, whose name I will not belittle, fled into the surrounding woods and was ripped apart by the other two. They hardly recovered enough of him to send back for a proper burial.
He glanced in Liesa's direction.
Pardon the description, my lady.
No, please.
She raised her hand. I find it all rather fascinating.
Tai, for once, had to agree. Ambassadors being torn limb from limb, horrifying creatures, mutilated bodies, heroic battles. What's not to love?
Master Arian, the High King's protector, was nothing short of miraculous. The way he fought was like something out of legend.
Lanmia swung his good arm around, as if gripping an imaginary blade, jostling some of his wine in the process.
If not for him, I believe the king would have fallen that afternoon.
Pardon the interruption, Ambassador, Tai's father said, but did these creatures fight individually? Or as a pack?
Ah, a perceptive question,
the ambassador said, raising his glass in acknowledgement,
and much to be expected from a master huntsman.
He took another sip of his wine.
It was neither, sir. It wasn't instinctual. It seemed tactical.
The look on Tai's father's face was disturbing.
Are you saying they were intelligent?
Lanmia finished what was left in his glass and laid it to the side.
I'm saying, when I looked into their eyes, what I saw was terrifying. I saw understanding.
He slumped back in his chair.
Those creatures were anything but natural. There's no mistaking dark magic when you see it. Those things had been created for a purpose, and it was more than obvious they were there to assassinate the High King, and, quite possibly, the Prince, as well as the ambassadors.
The most dangerous of opponents, Lord Baal interjected, is one which holds no fear and lives only to complete its goal.
The Overlord pursed his lips in thought. He turned to Tai's father.
Have you or your boy seen any signs of creatures such as these?
Nothing, my lord. If we had, you would have been the first to know.
Lord Baal seemed pensive.
There have also been reports within the last week or two of strange animal deaths.
The Overlord waved his hand flippantly.
Normally I wouldn't bring something so trivial to your attention, but the list of sightings seems to be growing. Have you any knowledge as to the validity of these claims?
Tai's father leaned forward in his seat.
I've recently been made aware that a few of the outlying farms have found some of their herd missing. We could have another pack of timber wolves migrating down from the north. If so, better to catch them before they move on to larger prey.
Tai didn't think there were any timber wolves around Easthaven. If there were, he would have felt their presence. He wondered if these deaths had anything to do with the strange sense of foreboding he had felt emanating from the forest of late.
Fergus was telling a few of the men in the East Inn how he had found a string of ravaged conies in the woods just north of town,
Breen said, as he scratched the side of his face. He had taken to letting his beard grow in a bit thicker ever since Freya commented on liking a little scruff on a man's face.
There have been dogs missing as well, and a local traveller found a dead horse just off the west road, about 3 or 4 miles out of town. Something had devoured it down to its bones. What was strange was that the horse hadn't been there when he had ridden through earlier that morning.
Breen looked around at the others watching.
I've never seen a carcass completely clean to the bone in just a few hours.
The glow of the fire tinted the top half of Tai's father's face, revealing a layer of deep lines creasing his brow.
I think we might need to take a look around tomorrow.
Ty could tell there was something else weighing heavy on his father's mind.
Is there something else?
Lord Baal asked. Ty was obviously not the only one noticing his father's hesitancy. Ty's father took a deep breath.
There is a story, he began, with a hint of mystery,
much like he would when Ty was young, and his father would sit on the edge of his bed at night and tell him of the great mages of old and the battles of magic waged between them during the Second Age.
That my father told me when I was just a boy. Like now, the townsfolk began finding dead animals around the forest. It started first with small rodents, and then a few cows here and there. Pretty soon they started finding family pets missing, and eventually a few of the residents living on the outer rim of the city vanished as well.
The light blonde hair on Ty's arms stiffened the further into the story his father went.
And then, one day, it just stopped.
They searched high and low for those missing families, but they were never to be heard from again. Almost as if they had never existed at all.
What caused it?
Liesa asked, her fingers nervously clutching the cup in her hand.
Ty's father shook his head. No one ever knew. My granddad and his father before him were excellent gamesmen, but they never found a single track.
He leaned back in his seat once again.
We'll make sure to search the surrounding woods, to see if we can find any sign of whatever this is. Rest easy, your lordship. We will deal with this problem. Rest easy, your lordship. We will deal with the problem.
Good, Liesa's father slapped a hand to his knee and leaned back against the seat's cushion. Do let me know what you find, Master Kellen.
You have my word, your lordship.
I will call a meeting of the Sidaran Assembly,
Baal finally said as he glanced at Ambassador Lanmere,
to discuss the disturbing events surrounding the High King's attempted assassination, as well as the growing concern of war between Alondria and Sealmar. We want to be prepared for any repercussions it could inflict on Sidara.
The ambassador crossed his legs and readjusted the sling on his arm.
I believe that would be a prudent move, your lordship. We are seeing an uncomfortable rise in aggression from our neighbors of late. We might need to consider recalling the guard, and maybe even look at the possibility of conscriptions.
The overlord's face twisted.
You know how I feel about conscripting, Lanmere.
I do. The same as myself, I reckon. But we might find it a necessary evil, nonetheless.
Ty wondered if he and Breen might be pressed into service, should it become necessary.
Great. Something else for me to worry about.
It wasn't like he didn't have enough on his plate as it was.